I want more Jesus. Of you, God. Jesus. All this is for you. All this is for you. For your glory, Jesus. And your faith. All this is for you. All this is for you.
Just praise you this morning for your presence, and thank you, Lord, that we can lift your name up higher and higher and higher and higher. And it's about you, Jesus. It's about you. It's about your word. It's about your ways. It's about your kingdom. It's about you in every way, because you're the magnificent one, and you are the one who snatched us out of the fiery pit. You're the one that put us on solid ground. You're the one that has raised us to new life. You're the one that we want to see. You're the one we want to feel. And you're the one that we want to release to all people around us. We thank you, God, that we have the privilege to be alive in this season, in this time frame, in this time in the world, God, where you're releasing yourself and you're bringing an outpouring and a revival to all those who are hungry, and even unto those who are not, who don't know you yet, God, because you want to populate your family kingdom. You want to draw people into your arms of love. And you've called us for such a time as this to step into that. You've called us, God. You've called us. Father, we just thank you for the multiplication of your word, the multiplication of your heart. And we thank you for the fresh fragrance in this place. Thank you that you're blowing through this place, Lord, bringing revival, bringing refreshment, and bringing new vision, fresh manna and fresh oil. So we just thank you, Lord, for the outpouring of your oil upon us, Lord, for that's the only way that the revival that we've been all crying for, Lord, will be sustained. It's living in that breakthrough, God, and you're the one that can bring that. You're the one that can release that, and you're the one who will. You're the one who desires all of Ohio, all of the surrounding states, the northeastern coastal region, and the north and the south, the east and the west, to be lit on fire for you, God. And Lord, we have the privilege of partnering with that, of hearing what you're saying, God, and resisting anything else other than your voice. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. You're so sweet, God. So sweet. So sweet. We love you, Jesus. The Lord is doing so much, and he's just wanting us to see him and to see what's going on and partner with that, not make up our own thoughts and plans and ideas, but partner with what he's doing. And there's such an aroma and a freshness in this season, a freshness in this room and in this region, for what God is saying can happen is happening. And we've been contending and asking for an outpouring and asking for all kinds of things for so long. And he's saying, just trust me and live in my presence, and I will turn all things into the places that I have for them. For I call you as repairers of the breach. And the Lord has spoken that over this body in such a refreshing way. And when Ben Atkinson was here, I don't know how many months ago, He had such words for Frontline, not really knowing us at that point. And he was just releasing the heart of the Father over this place, and he made declarations and decrees from the Spirit of God. And we want to remember those things and remember all that he's doing right now, so that we're walking in tandem with what he's saying in this hour and keeping our eyes fixed on him, the author and finisher of our faith. And so many things have been going on. The list, we might need to fix this, Andrew. But I started to make a list of all the different things to maybe mention if the Lord provided the time for that, and just to see what he would do. And it became ridiculous. Like, oh my gosh, we'll be here all day. And I don't think that's necessarily what, it could happen, but it may not be what's going to happen today. But I'm believing for whatever God wants and has, that's for sure. And I know that as I've been looking at, and Pastor Bill and I have been talking and praying through so many things that are happening right now, so many things in our individual lives, our families' lives, corporate lives, it's such a sweetness and a reminder that the Lord is saying, I'm doing a new thing, and there's a new sound. It's the new sound. I was battling last week, you know, some of this congestion stuff, whatever you want to call it, and it was kind of icky, and I was just battling through that. And I also had an injury to my finger, and some of you knew about that a week ago or so, and wasn't sure if it was broken or not, just trying to play basketball with my husband. Didn't do well. He did. And found out it wasn't broken, praise God, but I was still recovering from this ick on the inside and just declaring, no, Lord. And I was faced with a decision, and a decision to travel out of state last weekend. And physically, I really didn't feel up to it, and I wasn't trying to be super anything, and super missionary, super pastor, super, because I'm not super except in Jesus. And isn't that sweet? Look at that. And I felt the Lord say, I want you to go. So I got in touch with Carly, and I said, but God, you know it's mission training weekend, and you know, 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 Daniel's birthday was on Saturday, and we didn't want to miss that. It's like, God, how do I do all this? And they ended up having a party on Friday instead, not knowing about this. And it's like, okay, God, what am I supposed to do? And so Carly ended up getting me a ticket to this place that I felt compelled by love to go to. And I knew that the Lord was going to meet me there and just have his way in my heart. And that's what happened. And it was amazing. So I went to Chicago, and still just trusting God for the total breakthrough, you know, physically and all. But I knew that that would come. And what I encountered was so off the charts. And I was able to be here for part of Mission Training Week on Friday night, and about 15 minutes on Saturday morning or so, and then walked out the door, and I was there. And so this conference went Saturday night and then Sunday morning, noon, and night, and then is continuing on because there's an outbreak there of the Holy Spirit, which is really cool. So God wanted me there, and I believe that. And so I want to talk a little bit about what God's doing, but more, I want to impart what I believe he's saying in this season, along with the Wailing Wall, the solemn assembly that we're part of, and along with different things that are happening in this place, in this space, and saying, God, you're so much bigger than Ohio. You're bigger than Illinois. You're bigger than Indiana. You're bigger. What are you doing? And he's saying, I'm calling my intercessors to arise. I'm calling those who really have a voice, who are hearing my spirit, who will guard themselves from anything being snatched away, who will guard themselves from any false voice or deception or anything that would keep them from clarity, and that I could entrust them with the pearls of great price in a new way and what I want to be doing. And so it's like, okay, God, that's what I want. If that's how you see this company of people, I want to be part of that. And so I want to show at the end, towards the end of what God has put on my heart to share today, I want to share just the very beginning of the last session, which was Heidi flying in. Heidi Baker was on her way back to Mozambique, and Roland already was on the plane, I guess, that weekend. And she got a call from the leadership there in Chicago to come, because what she wasn't intended to be actually one of the speakers. But the Lord started to do something, started to break through something in the heavenlies in that realm, in that Chicago region. And Heidi caught that vision from the Lord. I mean, she's not looking for another conference. So she said also that God has put America on her heart. And she said, you know me. She said, I just want to go back. And I've been in Mozambique 20 years. But I've got this stirring for America that's kind of new. And she says, I don't know what to do with it. It's freaking me out. That's what she said. I was like, okay. So when she came, she had a word that is captured in this DVD, several words. And I was telling Pastor Bill about it, and I was so excited when I came back. And there's other words that I got. Some of them I didn't because I wasn't there, but I was given, you know, a series, a free series for the whole weekend, just handed to me. It's like, okay, thank you. And I've already gone through a lot of it, that the places that I was there, because God showed up. And so that's what I wanted. That's why I wanted to be there, because I thought, God, this is not just a conference. You're showing up. And so I want to release, before the children go to Kingdom Land, I want to release to you that what we're going to try to do is take everyone, offer everyone in Frontline an opportunity to see this and to actually be part of an impartation. It's not watching a video. We're not looking to pass out another video, but it's to be part of an impartation that I believe is for all of us. And I thought, well, Lord, I'll just release it. And I felt that he had an even greater idea that we would gather together in homes, and we would sit under in this anointing, and we would receive what he released over that region to continue to accelerate what he's doing here. And so as of right now, I just want to give you these dates, and they don't have it written. Maybe Ashley can type it in. But you can pick the ones that I know about right now, one of three or four homes that have been offered right now. And you can go to all, you can continue to see it. You can go to all of them. But we would like you to try to do that if at all possible. And for the young adults, you are so gracious, those who are going to Moz and even those who aren't, if you would be willing to help the parents of young children. And the night that you don't go to somebody else's house, if you could possibly make yourself available so that they could actually have the freedom easily to be able to go and receive the impartation without having to tend to the children as they normally would do, which is fine. But this is so strong. I've watched this DVD, listened to it numerous times already, and I am wrecked. Thank you, sweetie. I am wrecked each time. Because it's the Lord speaking, I believe, through Heidi for something that's very profound for our nation. So it's like, okay. So if you just want to jot this down, these are the ones that I have so far. I might ask a few others, depending how this goes. But Thursday, May 7th, the Liptaks have opened up their home. So if someone who isn't going on that day would love to help Sin and Lawrence with their kids while they're watching this and being imparted to, that would be super. Andy and Nikki have opened up their home on Wednesday, May 13th. So the first one is May 7th, and we'll send an email out, but just so you can have this in your mind. Summers is, Andy and Nikki is May 13th on Wednesday. And then Darlene and Carl have opened up their house. And again, if someone would love to help them, if they would like help, you know, that you would still be able to get the full impartation from this DVD on April 29th at 6:30, which is this Wednesday. And so there was an offer for, I think Josh and Christy offered their home, but Josh can't make it that night. Really hope he's able to attend another one, but if that works for them, I think you said Thursday the something, 14th? Sixth, what is it, sweetie? Well, okay. Thursday the 14th, and then hopefully. The reason we're doing it this way and not, you know, saying, hey, just borrow a DVD is because there's a corporate unity that's part of this. The anointing was a corporate anointing, and so we wanted to encourage you to find a place to go one of those four, and ours will open up as a spillover too, so that you would have an opportunity to feel, to sense, and to be part of what God, we believe God is releasing. It's not the only word of the Lord, but it's very strong and it's very powerful. What the people, the leadership is now doing in Chicago is they ended up starting nightly meetings from that, and they have a tent that they're only meeting in on I think Fridays, and the other nights they're meeting in a hotel room or something. They're starting that way, but they're taking steps. And they're feeling that God is saying, I want to do this. Reinhard Bonnke is going into Chicago this summer. And there's been a lot of preparation for this. So there's something that God seems to be doing in that region, which is very close. Well, it's not that close, but it's close enough. You know, it's in this. So just feel that the word that Heidi gave wasn't for Chicago alone. It was for all of us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this. So that's the heart behind this. It's not trying to fill another night. It's not saying, go watch a DVD and have fun. But please, go watch a DVD and have fun. but offer yourself to say, here I am, Lord. And I think you'll be amazed at the level of release in the spirit that God wants to bring to us that I think is powerful. Touch me. I usually don't have a issue or problem sharing the gospel with people. It's pretty simple for me. Just talk about Jesus and talk about Jesus and people get saved. And it's true. And it's just a blessing. So when I was leaving Chicago, I had 5 minutes in a car dealing with my, trying to return my rental car. And the Lord just gave me an opportunity to lead the guy in the Hertz rental car with me to Christ in 5 minutes. And then I came home here, and the next day I was meeting with the Veterans Administration Service Commission on behalf of my parents in downtown Canton, and I have a relationship with one gal. And I was able to lead her quickly to the Lord as well. She was in tears. And this is not something that's new for me, but I could sense there was an ease in the spirit that they were talking about. And it's like, whoa. This is amazing. It was very quick. So this message that I have today is about the harvest, is about what Jesus is saying, and this is what this impartation is as well. And I wanted to also highlight and then release the children. This book, it's called 100-Year Bloom. It's your key to living in permanent revival. But this was written in 2006 by Mahesh and Bonnie Shavda. Well, Bonnie, I got to connect with her, and I had a word for her and a couple visions that I saw dealing with the 100-year bloom. And that was actually before I got on the plane at my house in my office. I was trying to gather information, quickly get on this plane and all, and I looked at my bookcase, and that thing I pulled it out and I looked at it again. And it's years ago that I read this book, and I felt the Lord say, you'll be reading this book again very quickly. Okay, that's what I thought. And that's great. I'm a voracious reader anyway, but okay, that's fine. I didn't know what that meant. So when we got there, I had a vision of this book before the Monday night tent meeting, which I ended up staying for, which, long story, God provided a way for that. And it was for Bonnie. And the name of the 100-year bloom, the name of the street I was on and the name of the city I was in was Bloomingdale. And I felt that she had a word for not just the region, but a very strong word that she was going to deliver. And I didn't know what their schedule was or anything that she was going to deliver that night. So I was completely stunned when I got in there and she gave this very profound word on this Monday night. And she brought this book, and she had tons of them with her. Well, not tons, a couple stacks. And she gave one to everybody of this book. And I was shaking, like, whoa. So I went up to her, and I told her this, and she was undone. And she's very prophetic. And I told her we've had a watch of the Lord here for the last 9 or 10 years, and we're going to connect. She's very, very, very anointed woman of God. So God is, he's saying something, and I just want to partner with whatever it is that he's saying. So with that, I just want to bless you. And also, before the children are released, I want to mention to you, Rachel Koblenz. If you can come up here, Rach. Rachel Koblenz has connected with me and has a very huge heart for testimony, for gathering testimony. And she has taken this very seriously. And when we connected, you know, we had talked about the importance of really honing in on gathering testimonies. And in that gathering, the anointing that would come forth from actually seeing the need and doing something about it was something that grabbed her heart. And I was preaching about that somewhere in the last month, if you guys remember that. And she was really wrecked by that message. And then she did some other research as well. So we talked, and she's going to be heading up. She's going to be the testimony coordinator for us in gathering some of you folks to help her. But she's taking it seriously enough where she's committing her time and her effort to do this, not knowing what that meant. And we've had some other people who have stepped in to help in that area. Some aren't here. Tiana's done a super job. She's not in that capacity right now. And so Rachel is stepping into that. So thank you, Tiana, for that. And also for helping Rach, I'm sure, at some point. But I just want to just give her the mic for a minute, and she can share briefly her heart for the power of testimony and what that can do in this sense of this stirring for a great revival coming upon us. So just briefly, what the Lord's put on your heart, Rach.
Well, I can share a testimony that I felt like taking this opportunity was going to release me into a new dimension of just whatever the Lord has in my life. And can I just share a testimony that I have? It's not really what you asked me to share, but I had a really amazing salvation this week, just like you did. My coworker that I had requested prayer for at one of our all-night the 24/7. She was agnostic when I first met her. And this week, we were at a Graham Cook conference. And I woke up on Friday morning, and I got a text from her. She said, "I think I found Jesus." And here she had overdosed, and she ended up at the hospital, and all these people in the ER were just presenting Jesus to her everywhere. And she said, "I'm a new person." And she just texted me just a little bit ago and said that she's going to this New Life Church, and it's so amazing. So I just feel like the Lord is releasing so much salvation. Like, I don't know, salvation is kind of my heart, whatever. I was reading something by Doug Addison about how the Lord, this is a season where the Lord wants us to write testimonies, and just how the devil also wants to come against that. And I believe just by, sometimes not taking the time to like write then and there, just write it down, we miss out. And so just take that opportunity to just right at the moment, just like Graham Cook said, he keeps a pen and a paper with him all the time. Even in the shower, he just has a pen and a paper everywhere. So.
That's awesome. Well, let's just extend our hands to Rachel so she can continue to step into this, and you'll be receiving emails from her and whatever to be able to help her document a lot of this. There's been a lot of things that God's been doing that, because of whatever reason, it just hasn't been written down or recorded or whatever in a way that would be enabling us to share Jesus with others through it. So, Father, we just lift up Rachel to you, and we thank you, Lord, that she's stepping into this new post, and Father, that she's committing her heart to do this, and that you've equipped her for such a time as this. It's very important, Father, for her to be able to know that she has everything that she needs. She carries your fire. She carries your heart for revival, Lord. And Father, that she has eyes to see and ears to hear what you're doing and what you're saying. And Lord, that she would be able to step in and be able to take what you've done, what you've manifested, how you've manifested your, yourself. And Father, that she would be able to put it in a form or help have others help her put it in a form that we can share with other people to say, look what the Lord has done. So we thank you, Lord, that she is equipped and she will not be weary or discouraged, and that she will have a new level of fire for this new post, this new place. We bless her and strengthen her in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. So, yeah, kids, go to Kingdom class. So God bless you guys. That's so good. But I wanted the teachers that, who are not going to be in here to hear that and to be able to maybe check their schedules and not miss this impartation at all. So that'd be good. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I think that there's a lot of things on the heart of the Lord today, and I know that one thing is our new baptismal. Our baptismal is fixed. Glory to God. I understand. So if you could please let Cynthia know, if you've not been baptized, water baptized, if for some reason that hasn't happened or the Lord has spoken to you about something else, it's not that you have to go and get rebaptized and rebaptized and rebaptized, but if there's something that the Lord is specifically speaking to your heart, I don't have the date yet. I think Cynthia's going to help me set that date. We'd really like to offer that to you folks and see what God will be doing. And you can offer that also to the Edge. I know last night Lawrence was speaking at the Edge, and it was a powerful time. And there was amazing worship just off the charts last night, from what I understand. And so, you know, God is moving. God is doing great and mighty things. And I know, too, that for this summer, this week, I'm sorry, with the Wailing Wall starting, the solemn assembly, that I know Lawrence made a plea last night, and Cynthia also has released that. And we are wanting workers, I guess, not I guess, we do, to help Isaac and the others. Lou Engel is coming in. And there's just been a big thrust and a big push to be able to bring this thing to pass. And you do have to register to be able to get in to the doors. And I think that's already been clear here. If you have any other name that you want to add to these boards before we get them up this week to the solemn assembly, there's going to be a great outpouring, a great crying out for the souls of these people and other things too, where we're going to be meeting with Lou Engel and finding out what his heart is. But the Lord's telling his heart also, speaking to him about for this region, and see where else God wants to take that. Because there's a fire being lit all around here. It's not just in Cleveland. It's not just in Columbus. It's all over. And God is big. And so he's doing that. So we're very excited about that. And just really encourage you to carve out the time. And it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yes? And starting at 7 o'clock, but the workers, the helpers for every possible need there could be, I believe, need to be there around 5 o'clock or at 5 o'clock. And if there's a problem with that time, but you still want to offer your service, would you let Cynthia know? And I don't know what she can do about that or if she can do anything about that, but she can communicate somehow with Isaac. But, you know, he is needing names and numbers and things right now. And he was really excited. He said, you know, when I first came into this, Frontline jumped on this, you know, through the 24/7 prayer that we had, we just finished, and all of the things that have been going on in recent weeks. And he just really appreciates the heart of the people in this body. You guys are tremendous and absolutely laid down lovers of God. And so he really wants me to tell you how much he appreciates that. And thank you for sowing financially into this as well. And they do have a lot of costs bringing people in from around the nation. So if you could sow into that, if you haven't, or if the Lord keeps putting that on your heart, that would be great, because he's hoping that a lot of area churches will participate in this. So we have sent a good amount of money already, and we're trusting that we'll be able to do more of that. So if you that's on your heart for this week, please let us know, and then just put it in the box back here and let us know. So Father, I just thank you that the word, the flame, the fire will continue. Father, as you've been lighting it all around this area in Ohio, thank you that we have the privilege of living here. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of knowing that your hand is upon this region. And Father, it's not been easy, but Father, you have put your workers, your generals, your lovers, your servants, your friends out in the front lines, Lord, to be able to hear what you're saying and hear the march of your hoofs, to hear your voice crying out in the wilderness, to hear that victory bell ring, to hear the revival bell ring. And Father, it's time, because the harvest fields are white and they're ripe and they're ready, God. You're saying this is the time. You're saying this is the season. This is what you want to do, and you're making it easier for whatever, however you do that, God. But you're doing it, God, and we're so privileged to be part of that here and overseas as well. So we thank you, God, for that. We praise you for that. And may these words just absolutely fall on ears that are open, that all ears would hear what you're really trying to say to us, your church, your kids, your people. We praise you and we love you and we thank you so much in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Oh, God, thank you. I think when some of the parents get back from, I think the parents are back now. Okay, I do want to mention something else that we have that is going on at the same time, and I just wanted to get the kids to Kingdom Land, so, you know, it was long enough for announcements and such, but I want you to hear this. This is way cool. You know how we've been going downtown since the beginning of Frontline? Downtown Canton, that's not new. I've been going down to the streets. In recent years, we've been doing a lot on First Fridays for years. I don't know how many years, Andy, we've been doing it. But we've started by just taking our big black wrecked bus. Remember? Hello, Dylan. Dylan's here. But our big black wrecked bus and taking it down to the streets in Canton. Taking it down and going out on cold nights. You know, and there's nobody down there, and there's no First Friday. And we're taking it down and saying, okay, God, we got this weird-looking bus with orange carpet on the inside that used to be left over from this floor and all that. And we're going to serve them hot chocolate, give them Bibles, and get the people from the bars and anybody else who will come. And so, God, help us. And we would go down and we'd prophesy, we'd walk the areas, we would just say, God, here we are, we don't know what we're doing, but we're going to keep doing it. And I really believe that our effort, if you will, and efforts of anybody who's done something like that, I'm sure many, or whoever, that's touched the heart of God when there wasn't First Friday or anything like that. And that came on the heels of anybody else who interceded for this region, anybody else from decades ago who has prayed for an outpouring in this place. Anything else, you know, anybody who has sown into this, God was saying, just keep on going. You're going to see the fruit of your labors. Just keep on going. Keep on going. And so I just really felt that in this season that God wanted to do something, you know, just really exaggerated for all of us. And so we've been having these First Friday outreaches and hoping that people will come and all that. And Pastor Bill and I have been praying about this. And the Lord gave a very creative idea and a thought, and it's mushroomed. And so here's what's going down. We are having Mission Training Weekend was last weekend for the first one for our MOS team. Great team you are. And also what is happening is our second Mission Training Weekend, which is the weekend of May 16th, 15, 16, and 17, okay? We're going to have something new. And this was a word that was actually given. I was standing at the counter, and I just heard the word, and I wrote it down, evangelism rally. I was like, whoa, evangelism rally. And to begin, I wasn't sure exactly how. We've been praying through this, going, well, now what do we do with evangelism rally? But to actually begin for this body in a corporate way where we break bread together, all of us who are going to be out on the streets, who would like to be part of something for evangelism. And I was thinking, we were thinking about what happened last year with GG9, and we had close to 40 people going out on the streets, even if it was one time, during that week of 24/7 prayer and worship. And I remember some of the leaders of GG9 saying, this is weird, you know, this is not boasting in Frontline, it's boasting in the fact that this place is filled with people who have evangelistic hearts. And so people kept going out in the streets, and people kept witnessing and going out and testifying, and it was amazing, and it stood out to others, apparently. And it wasn't a trickle here and a trickle there. It was a lot of people, and God bless you guys for doing that and going into Cleveland, going into Akron, whatever. And so there has been mention by the Lord to others that, wow, there's a real evangelistic thrust on this community. I don't think that's a big surprise to us. But we believe that as prophetic evangelists in this body, that intercession, prayer, worship is all part of that. And so that's, quote unquote, the package, if you will, that we believe that God is saying is needed for all of us everywhere, but that you step in as forerunners, you step in as leaders, you step in this community here, Akron, Cleveland, and God's doing that. So, you know, it's increasing, even through the 24/7 prayer and worship. We had 7 nights of worship, and Frontline didn't even get up here as a full worship team until the last night. We had 6 other groups coming in from around the area. And, you know, God is doing this. We've been doing this for several years now, and just praising God. How many years was the 24/7 we've been doing this, we said? 7 years, was it? 7 years? Okay. Anyway, the Lord's, he's very intentional. You know, it's not just about, oh, I feel him here. That's great. But he's saying, I'm looking for a habitation, and I want to make my habitation here and in other places. Okay, this is not just for one place, but he is looking for people who are really serious about this. So anyway, with us going to Mozambique, Pastor Bill and the team getting back from India just a few weeks ago, lots is going on the international side, more coming for the fall, we'll tell you later. But the Lord is saying, continue on with what you're doing, and I'm going to biggie size it, if you will. Redemption for Life is increasing. There's different things that are happening. And God says, go out on the streets. So with this evangelism rally for the 2nd mission training weekend, we're inviting all of Frontline who would like to join us to come on Saturday night for the mission training weekend. And of course, the Mozambique team will be here, and to come on that Saturday night. And we're going to have dinner here at 5:00. And that there is going to be an evangelism rally for what God wants to do beyond even Mozambique here in this area. And we're putting that together right now. And the ones who are spearheading that, we have a little group that got together, and it's not exclusive. It's just taking a few available people and saying, let's pray through this. What do you think? And out of that, Peter and Teresa and Mike McCray have said, yes, I'd like to be the team coordinators for this. So Peter and Teresa and Mike McCray and Jamie will be in Mozambique. But they will be the team coordinators working with Pastor Bill. I won't even be here. As you know, I'll be in Mozambique. And this outreach that the Lord has put on our heart is going to happen the weekend of July 17, 18, and 19. Okay, we'll be in Mozambique. Don't know what's going to happen there. And so this was the thought and the idea. So we went down to Highland Park. You all know we've been down there before, and we've done all kinds of things in the past. We've blessed a lot of different places, and we were the ones that have gained a lot from going down and saying, God, help us, show us these people, give us that heart. And so you're going to hear more about this, but that's a weekend that we ask you to carve out in the summer for those who are here, because we are going to invade Highland Park with our families, with those who are here, and the Lord has put on our hearts also to partner with others. So that's our heart. And you know how we are with Gateway Akron and others. You know, we're close and all that. Well, this is a new partnership, potential partnership. The Lord put on our hearts a church down in that area that we're connecting with. We're connecting with the pastor, and I'll just leave it at that right now. And there's been a connection with one of his deacons, one of his workers, to continue on. And here's the bottom line. When we called and we chatted, and they didn't know us at all. We don't know them. And it's a, you know, strong inner city church. I don't know how strong I say in that they're there. So I'm assuming strong. And they do some ministry in that very difficult area. Very impoverished area, very needy area. You know, a lot of people are hurting, and there's a lot of stuff going on. And so when I told them about this, they were really intrigued. And we're meeting next week, Lord willing. They want to hear. They love the vision. They love the heart, they've said. And it turns out that for the past 8 years, they've been doing something in Highland Park that weekend on their property, because they have grassy area that joins the area of the 37 different apartment complexes. Okay? And when I shared some of the things that we wanted to do, he says, oh, we've done that. We've done that. I was like, oh, really? And he says, well, we haven't done this, and we haven't done that, and we haven't done that. So a lot of the evangelistic thrust, if you will, not that having a snow machine or a snow cone machine or a popcorn machine isn't evangelistic. I'm not saying that. But the direct evangelism where we show the Jesus film, which the Lord put on our hearts, to do that in this region. We do that abroad, as you know. We're going to do that in Mose this summer. But to do that here, right downtown in the middle of hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe more, they were very excited about that. It's like, whoa, really? Yeah. And the worship and various other tools that God has given us that we've used here in this region and also abroad. And this was new for them. In fact, they've talked about going overseas. They've never gone overseas. They found out what we've done overseas and were just, I've never heard of this. What's going on? So this was really exciting. And they said that what they've labeled this in the past for the last 8 years is happening in the hood. Okay? And that's what they've done. Now, we're going to hear more about that and as time goes on, and you'll get some emails and things like that. But for now, we're real excited about this because this is something brand new for Frontline. We're taking off, you know, to go overseas, and now we're going to have this outreach here. And who knows who else will join us? I don't know what's going to happen. It could morph into something else. I don't know. But God is doing something amazing. In other words, some of the things that we were even brainstorming about initially that we could do there, they already have the tent. They've already done this. They've already done that. They have a lot of the hard stuff. You know, they feed the people, this kind of stuff. But as far as the evangelism side, not so much. So come on, God. So this is a new connection in the spirit, we believe, in some respect. And so they had heard about Gift of Christmas. They worked down at Rescue of Hope Ministries as well, and they want to invade other areas in the inner city. And we're active with other groups in the inner city, so it's not as though we're not down there and we're not connecting with other pastors and leaders. We are, but this is new to us. So we're excited about that. So if you can carve that out, that would be good. And that came several weeks ago, where the Lord just birthed this, not knowing anything about what's going on in Chicago or any other place. And there's other revivals around the area as well. And so I just want to draw your attention to a couple of things and then just have a little impartation at the end. Did you all get the dates here? This is a lot of announcing, but just really feel that this is an important time for us to kind of gather in as a family and jot these things down. So again, the dates were May 7th at the Liptacks. They're up there? Oh, goody. Okay. Those are just jot down, and you know, if everybody goes to one, it'll be a big happy party. That's all I can say. So I just want also to let you know that in this season, with God doing these amazing things in the midst of all of us, the Lord is saying, stay low, stay humble, and I'm going to show you what true honor looks like. Okay? You're going to honor my word. You're going to honor my presence. And you're going to guard yourself from anything that would be a problem in any way. Keep your mouth beautiful. Keep your intentions strong. And watch what I do. And God will really bless that. So I just want to highlight a couple of verses today. And one, the first one, Ash, if you can put that up there that I gave you. In 2 Timothy 4:5, it says, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. And it's interesting because the Lord is speaking through Paul, and he's saying, listen, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to speak to you, Timothy, and others, and I want you to fulfill your work. And I want you to do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of evangelism. Do this because I've called you to go make disciples of all nations. I've called you to do this. This is a call. And I want you to bring in the reward that I get, me, Lamb of God, for my suffering. And I want you to do that. And I want you to walk in fresh oil. The big theme of the message that hopefully you'll stay in or you'll receive from Heidi is that God wants us to be filled with fresh oil, and that those who are filled with fresh oil will be able to be part of sustaining whatever revival looks like from God's perspective. We can study past revivals. We can say, here's what's going on now. God, what do you want to do? And I believe he's going to be surprising us. I believe that there's going to be more that he's showing us that we never thought would be happening at all. And I believe God's going to do that in a very powerful way. So if you can also open your Bibles right now, I want to highlight two areas. And one is in Luke chapter 9. If you can put that up, Ash. If you can get your Bibles out, check this out. Okay, Luke chapter 9, 52 through 10:3 in the New American Standard. This is very powerful because the Lord is telling us, look at the very bottom. It says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. And so, you know, this is not a new verse for this body. This is not a new verse at all on the scene. This is God's heart. He says, I want you to beseech me to send the laborers. I need you to do that. That's your job. You're contending from heaven. You're crying out for an outpouring from heaven. You're crying out for me. And I want to speak to you. I want to speak to you about that, but I need you to see who I am because I am the God of compassion. And if you have such passion for me and my word and my ways, then you will have the passion or the compassion for others. And so in the midst of this particular verse, you're going to see it. This in Matthew and also in Luke. We're going to look at both passages. You're going to see how the Lord is speaking to us, wanting us to be so enamored with his ways that when it comes to kingdom worship, when it comes to healings and deliverances and things like that, that the supernatural outpouring of his heart is going to be used by him to be able to continue to fuel this revival coming or this outpouring coming. So even a few weeks ago, we had this, we called it the healing outbreak again. Not that we don't have healings all the time here, but we had healing outbreaks again. And so we had people up here, it was messy, it was crazy, it was nuts. People were getting healed left and right. Children are coming up here. It was just like, wow, this is great, God. Can we sustain this? Can we see this happening? Week after week, can we see this, God? What will it look like? And he said, go ask them and they will come. Go out of your four walls and you'll see it. Go pray for the people. Go find them and they will be healed. They will. It's great to take a class and a course, and it's great to come to demonstration of the kingdom, which we just finished as well. That's good stuff. But God says, get out of the four walls and go do that. Get on the streets, get into the hospitals, get into the places. That's not new. That's not striving. That's what Jesus did. And he said, I just want to be so filled up with him that that passion I have for him will spill out of me wherever I am. I'll see my kids differently. I'll see my husband differently. I'll see my mandate from God to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations differently. I will step in and say, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. I didn't read the book. I didn't take the course. I'm just going to step in and do it because the anointing is here for that. And I'm all about taking courses and reading books. So that's not the point. The point is, he's saying, will you go? Will you be stirred up? Will you read my word? And will you allow the word of God inside of you to be able to propel you to go forward and do these things? Don't get into a place of complacency. Don't do that. Especially when there's such a rich heritage here. The Lord says the anointing is here to go forth. And that's really strong. So if you look up here, it says, excuse me, in Luke 9, it says, he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered the village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him, but they did not receive him because he was traveling towards Jerusalem. So when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and he rebuked them. Jesus did, and he said, you don't know what kind of spirit you are of. They were divisive. What are you doing? That's not, Jesus didn't come to harm people. He came to save them. He didn't come to bring a hurricane or a tornado and wipe people out. That's not under the new covenant. That's not the way he's operating. He's capable of it, but he came to heal and save the lost. Okay? And so it's really, really important in time to have our theology strong and have our theology correct, because if not, when things happen, we will be shaken. And the Lord says we need to see the Lord of the harvest the way he really is. And guard that inside. Guard that. So in this particular verse or passage, he rebukes them and he said, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. They went on to a village. Mark that down. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Very key. And we can have distorted theology. And it can come from bad teaching, bad understanding, not understanding grace, not understanding. And so God does not like anything that will come up and push against the goat, push against what would possibly be his best for people. He hates division, but he comes and brings a sword. In other words, if he's bringing something to separate and say, no, that's not me, stop it, that's okay. And that's what Jesus did, because the disciples weren't catching it. And he even said, do you know what kind of spirit you're working with here? That's pretty strong. And these are people who love Jesus, you know? So he's really saying, get your theology right. It's about me. It's about me. So they went on to another village. And as they were going along the road, someone said, I'll follow you wherever you go. Okay? And Jesus turns and says, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Those are strong words, and they're said in love. Come on, Jesus, what are you saying? Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, again, I'll read it again. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest. So, Lord, we are beseeching you today to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Ha! With the right theology, it's important. And you know what? We can work with people who love Jesus. They may disagree with us on some things. Okay, right? The Lord says, you know, this is not frontline theology. This is kingdom theology. So we want to go out and make disciples of all nations and work with people, right, who are different, saying Jesus, the bottom line, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But in that, we will have the knowledge, the spiritual revelation and knowledge to know that we are, when we go and preach the kingdom, that we will see the dead raised, we will see the blind eyes open, we will see the demons cast out. We know in this house that freely we've received, so we freely give, and we will lead others into that. And the bar will raise. Amen? Yeah. And that we don't compromise, because it's what Jesus did. So let's flip over to the second and last passage, and then we're going to really be blessed by this, a little bit of this video clip. You're going to love it. Ash, can you put this up? Okay. Let me give you the passage. It wasn't up there. I wrote it down. Matthew 9, 16 through... what was it? 10:1. Did you put it up? Oh, goody. Okay. Here we go. No one puts a patch of unshrunk clothes on an old garment. Now listen, guys, the reason I put this in here is because I believe that God is very smart. And when he puts his words together in the scriptures, he knows why something comes before something else, don't you think? So notice what he's doing before he says, beseech the Lord of the harvest, okay? Check out his heart. Here's what he's saying. No one puts a patch of unshrunk clothes on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and a worse tear results. Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wineskins burst, and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved. So God's all about preserving us, isn't he? So he's talking to us and saying, it's time. We need new wineskins. We don't want to be going and saying, give me the new wine with old wineskins. That's just not smart, because he knows what will happen and we'll get derailed. If we don't have the new wineskin for the new wine to be poured in, we will be derailed. We'll think things that are not the Lord, assuming that's God. We'll do things that are not the Lord, assuming that's God. And we get ourselves into a mess. So the Lord is saying, I am so serious about this. So he starts here and says, okay, this is what we need. And that's where humility comes in. Can you put the rest of it up, please? While he was saying these things to them, now catch this out. While he's doing that, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come lay your hand on her and she will live. Now notice the progression. You folks are very familiar, I believe, in here with a lot of these healings. And we've preached on them and we go, yeah, God, do it again, okay? But notice what God's doing. Notice how he speaks to us. Notice how he's encouraging us for this outpouring. So Jesus gets up and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. Why? Why did he get up? What was God doing? He began to get up, so the disciples followed him, like Jesus must know what he's doing, because he was spoken to by the synagogue official and bowed down. So he got up. And then the woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him, touched the fringe of his cloak. You guys know the rest of the story, but I'll read it. For she was saying, Jesus, she was saying to herself, if only I could touch his garment, I will get well. But turning and seeing her, he said, now notice in verse 22, he saw her. He saw her. He turned and he saw. Very important verbiage. Okay, he listened to the synagogue official and he saw him. It doesn't say, I mean, he was right there, but he went. He did something. There was a response inside of Jesus. And remember, if he only does what he sees the Father do, or he hears the Father tell him to do, he's responding to the Father and the Spirit of God on the inside of him. He's responding. And so he's saying, daughter, by turning and seeing her, he says, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. And at once the woman was made well. So what his plan was to continue on, remember, for the synagogue official's daughter, was moved, boom, when this came, because Jesus was flexible. Jesus would flow. Jesus would stop his schedule or what he thought was what he's supposed to do, and he's flowing with the Holy Spirit. Whoa. This is revival, okay? When Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, he said, leave, for the girl has not died, but is asleep. And they began laughing at him. So when the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. This news spread throughout all the land. Okay? The religious laughter, the bantering, that didn't faze him at all. He was on a mission always, and he knew what to do, and he raised this little girl up. Okay? This continues on now, because this is the same teaching as what we just read in Luke, okay, but this is Matthew. So now Jesus goes on from there. Two blind men follow him, crying out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he entered the house, the blind men came up and said, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, it shall be done to you according to your faith. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about this. What? Come on. But they went out and spread the news about him throughout all that land. Jesus was flowing in the time of the Father. And when he spoke, he had a reason for everything. And he knew what was going to happen. He knew about the wineskins. He knew that the new wine being poured out needed to be contained in new wineskins. But he was the new wine. He is the new wine. He is the new wineskin. And he was saying, put me on, and I will allow you to receive everything, the benefit from that, and it's going to shake this world up. So after that, they were going out, and next healing miracle or deliverance is a mute, demon-possessed man brought to him. And after the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds were amazed and were saying, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. But the Pharisees were saying, he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. Interesting. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Do you know that there are many, many ministries and churches that don't necessarily tap into what that can look like yet? But they will, because part of this outpouring that's coming, that's already here in measure, is involving the healing and the delivering power of God that is just goes along with the gospel that's being presented. So when you go up to somebody and you pray for sickness, let's say Ralph, my new friend at Hertz Rent-A-Car, there was 5 minutes and he prayed out and everything else. And do you know what? It began when I asked him about himself. And I prayed for his wife who had just had a brain aneurysm. He was so touched by that. He wanted Jesus. And what he said, because I had a real interesting turn of events to get there. And only by God's grace would I have made my plane. It was one of those deals. And I didn't even tell him, but he could tell by the clock. I'm not even on site at O'Hare Airport, okay? I'm off site, and I'm supposed to be there 2 hours before, not. And so my plane's leaving in less than 40 minutes, and I'm not even in the camp. And so he gets in the car and helps me. And so when I talked to him, he looked at me after he received Christ. This is 5 minutes. And he looked at me and he said, can I just say to you that maybe all of this happened, all the delays, you know, things were crazy in my life, so that you could give me what I really needed. That came out of his mouth. Is that humbling? Like, what? Duh? And I said, probably so. And so when I got out of the car, I wanted to give him some money to bless him. And you know what he said? He said, oh, no, you don't have to do that. What you gave me is worth more than any amount of money. Honest to goodness, I heard that come out of his mouth. And I looked at him and I said, that's very true, but be blessed anyway. And he was leaning out of the car as I was going in to make my way, getting my ticket immediately at the counter, my boarding pass, no waiting, going right through security, no waiting, going right to the gate. I had 5 minutes to spare. It was crazy. But this is the kingdom. God's real serious right now about these things. That's just neat. And then to wrap this up, notice in verse 36, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them. Seeing the hurting and the lost. Seeing the religious, okay? Seeing the ones who were doing things that he might have thought, that's so ridiculous. What kind of spirit are you partnering with? I love you, but this is craziness. But seeing them with compassion, but yet not tolerating it and saying no. You know, well, how do you do that? God, when you're living in his grace and you say no, and someone says, oh, sorry, it's yes, you're responsible to give the no, and they're responsible to hear from the Lord. But seeing them with compassion, God says, is what he was doing. He's telling us. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, for they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, then, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. And that's after all of the healings, all the deliverance, raising the dead. The Lord was saying, this is the kingdom. This is who you are. If you're born again, the very fire of God lives in you because the Spirit of God lives in you. The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of each one of us. And when you get a grip of that, you will step out and say, count me in. I don't know what I'm doing, but I will do it. And you will back me up because you are the Lord of the harvest. So when I beseech you, I am beseeching you, the name above all names. And I'm saying, I love you, Jesus. And I'm willing to change. I'm willing to bend. I'm willing to take my little schedule and say, whatever. In this book, I just want to tell you that I'm just highlighted here to say this right now, that this book that was written about revival in the midst of revival, it says, revival is messy. Revival is spontaneous. Revival is costly. Let me say it again. Revival is messy. It's spontaneous. It's costly. That means our schedules don't mean a hoot. And it's time for us to say, here's my schedule. What are you doing? And I want to partner with it. And that can shake up a whole lot of people, all of us. Revival is glorious. Revival is joyous. Oh, first responders in revival. Revival is rewarding. Pentecost is primal revival. Love it. Revival is permanent. Revival is people. And then watching for revival. And I say, as we finish this, that as we have this impartation at the end, that we would say yes to revival is messy, it is spontaneous, and boy, is it ever costly. It is so costly. You don't even know how costly it is. And neither do I yet. But it's been costly. Because the Lord says, if you will partner with me in that, it won't be easy. I saw a young woman in her late 20s at this conference. For at least 11 years, not sure exactly, maybe 15 years, go from trying to kill herself on drugs, alcohol, okay, as a daughter of one of the leaders, okay, absolutely get wrecked and then raise up with such an authority. And then just blast healing and delivering power to so many people who are in the same mess. And the mother of this young lady got up and said, you're seeing what restoration really looks like. This is being birthed right in front of you. It was powerful. Powerful. Lord is saying, let me open your eyes. And if we will pray this prayer, if you can get the DVD ready before we turn it on and have the volume up, let's get all the lights off, okay? Just sit back. This is about, I think it's about 7 minutes. Okay? And just receive. Just turn the lights in the back off here, too. Thank you, Jesus. Hang on a sec. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, thank you.
It says, Kiria, Kiria,
Jesus.
More, we want to give you more. 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 We want to love you more. We respond to love. We respond to love. The sacrifice of Calvary. You bought us with the price of your blood. You bought us with the price of your blood. Jesus, you died on that cross. You paid for our sin. You paid for our unrighteousness. You redeemed us out of the pit of hell. You rescued us from death and destruction. And Lord, we are a grateful people. Lord, we don't ever want to forget what you did for us on Calvary. What you did for us when you rescued us out of the pit, when you rescued us out of hell, when you rescued us out of destruction. And God, we want to be a grateful people. And Lord, we want to be a people that go full of oil. We want to be a people that go full of oil. We want to be ones, oily ones, burning ones. We want to go, Lord, full of oil. So take us, Jesus, tonight, God. Take us deeper, deeper, deeper inside your heart. Yeah.
We want to feel the heartbeat of Calvary. To beat inside my heart and take it to the streets. And we want to feel the heartbeat of Calvary. To feel it in our hearts and take it to the streets. And we want to feel the heartbeat of Calvary tonight, Jesus. To feel it in our hearts and take it to the streets. Just open up our eyes tonight, Jesus.
Yeah.
To see the fields that are wide for harvest, Jesus. Open up our eyes, God. Because you looked upon the crowds. You looked upon and you saw them. You saw the crowds. And then you said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers, that he would send laborers. But first, Jesus, you saw the crowds and you had compassion upon their hearts. We want to see like you see. We want to see like you see, Jesus. We want to feel what you feel. We want to feel what you feel, Jesus. When you came to seek and save all that was lost, I want to know what that felt like, Jesus. I want to know what it felt like to sit with the woman at the well, Jesus, and see how beautiful she is, Jesus. I want to walk in love. I don't want to walk in judgment. I want to walk with the fire of Jesus. With the fire of Jesus. I want to see like you see, Jesus. I don't want to see with my own understanding any longer. I want to see with the heartbeat of heaven, with the heart of the Father. Because no one goes unseen in the heart of the Father. No one gets passed by in the heart of a king. No one is forgotten in this kingdom of glory. For you came and you lived and you died and you rose again that all would be set free.
Yeah.
It's not just about me, God. But it's about being your hands and your feet, Jesus. So I want to be your hands and feet. Because oh, how great your love is for me. cannot keep it inside anymore. And I'm gonna take it outside of this door. I cannot keep it inside anymore. I'm gonna take it outside of this door, Jesus. 'Cause this love is so great, it's so amazing. How you found me, how you chose me, how you picked me up, God, and you never stop healing, you never stop giving, you never stop loving. It's an endless ride with you, Jesus. It's an endless ride with you, Jesus. Oh, we never reach the goal, 'cause Jesus is the goal, and you're always moving, you're always breathing, you're always shifting, you're always shaking. We just want to be with you where you are, 'cause you have totally, absolutely captured our hearts, Jesus. You have 100% absolutely guaranteed captured me, Jesus.
Harvest. And as I came into this place and I came into my room, the Lord showed me. He showed me this huge bell. It was a huge, huge bell, and there was this sound. It started to ring, and the sound went forth. This sound. And he said, it's the sound of the harvest. It's the sound of the harvest, and the fields are white for harvest in North America. And I saw that he would gather people, all peoples of all different movements and races and streams, and those who would hear the sound, it's a sound. There's a sound going forth. There's a sound going forth that's saying it's time. It's time for another great awakening. And this great awakening will be fueled by oil. It'll be fueled by oil, the oil that comes in the secret place of his embrace.
Thank you, Jesus. This is the beginning. And this gal that she called up, someone apparently with her, and just sang out what the Lord was releasing. And I just really believe that God's going to do something through this today. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that we are choosing to partner with you. We've been choosing to do that, Lord. And we thank you that you are not the God of misunderstanding. You are not the God of confusion. You are the God of clean hands and a pure heart. And we just praise you and thank you, God, that we receive your fresh oil today. And we take your words of life, God, that we would have your eyes and that we would see what you see and that we would partner with that, Father, and nothing else. And that our circumstances would not be priority, but what you're saying right now in the kingdom on earth here, as it is in heaven in the United States for us. Lord, that we would take our place and that we would ride that wave. So we thank you, God, that nothing else will steal away from us that which you're speaking today, and Lord, that we'll be wrecked and ruined again as we study the scriptures and see what you're speaking to us this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. The only scripture that was mentioned was the beseech the Lord of the harvest that you heard up here. The scriptures that we went through were not discussed, to my knowledge, at this conference. I believe the Lord was saying, take them through the word up to that point and show them. Show them my heart so that they will not be fooled and they will not be stolen from. And if you have been stolen from, that you would actually go to the Lord and demand that that is brought back. Really, humbly. Because there is grace, but the Lord says we can hurt a lot of people by doing what we think is God, and it has nothing to do with the Lord. God doesn't like that. He came to save and to heal and to bless and strengthen and encourage, and he's very sure about that. So let's leave this place today really having a deeper understanding of his amazing grace that doesn't just permit us to run our mouth or to forget, you know, to live by a schedule or whatever. No, it doesn't. He says, if you want to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. It'll be great joy in that. So today, Father, I thank you for just an increase in that blessing that comes from knowing your word, reading your word, and being strengthened by your word. Thank you, God, for this, and may we be changed forevermore today until we meet again, Lord willing, if you're able to make it on Tuesday. God bless you all. God bless you all.